So the context of Romans 14 and 15 is about two things mainly. It surrounds diet and days. Diet and days. There's a Jewish community that has come to faith in Jesus Christ, and there is a Gentile community that's come to faith in Jesus Christ. And they are worshiping together because there's no Jew or Gentile, but all are one in Christ. And chapter 15 ends, the end of the passage that was read of chapter 15, it ends just talking about that the Jew and Gentiles are in one community and they give their voice to God in worship. The faith of each group allows for different behaviors and different convictions than the other. But those convictions are issues of conscience, food, and days that guide behavior, but which need to remain on the edges. They aren't peripheral. They aren't central to Christ. They are peripheral. They're not central. They're not centered on Christ. But criticism and judgment around both of these abound. The weak, the Jewish community, or the weak, are nitpicky about foods. They are the vegetarian, fish-only people. There are certain Jewish ceremonies and traditions that give them meaning, and these are essential to their lives. And these liturgies should happen on Sabbath. They berate the Gentiles because of what is perceived as this lackadaisical commitment. Paul describes the weak in faith as those who eat only vegetables and no meat. So all of us steak, pork, wild game people gathered in worship this morning, the Jewish Christians would cause a lot of tension in your life and my life. They also considered one day more sacred than another. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. The day requires worship and family rest and no work, and then they start getting crazy about what that means. And about walking 300 yards is okay, but if you walk one more step, well, then you're in trouble and you lack commitment to Christ. And it's difficult to apply some of these things, of course, just in our modern age, because people work on Sundays. Farmers, nurses, doctors, people who work in factories. The Jewish Christians, in my mind, and I want you to please excuse my bias here. My upbringing is going to be confessed. I think the Jews are the Baptists of the chapter. And if you grew up in that tradition, just bear with me. I have my issues, as you all do, and so you're going to get to hear mine this morning. I attended grades 1 through 12 at an over-the-top, controlling, legalistic, oppressive, dispensational, ridiculous, rigid, and a mindless Bob Jones University-like Baptist school. I have just undressed my psyche in your presence. I deal with this all the time. I left that school when I was 18. I still have conversations in my head. Carrie knows this. I'm deconstructing it all the time. And that's why I told my kids at the dinner table when they were juniors and sophomores in high school that we hope to fund their college education, but if they attend a Baptist school, I couldn't give them a damn dime with a good conscience. And I meant it. I wasn't going to give them a dime. I said, you have my support, but I'm not paying a thing. And I know that sounds terrible, but they laughed and they said, you're serious. And I said, yes, I am serious. Custom and ceremony was tied to the Jewish expression of following Jesus and elevated to the center where only Jesus should reside. That happened in my grade 1 through 12 experience all the time, day in and day out. And it affected me. But on the flip side, the Gentiles looked down on their Jewish brothers and sisters. for mindless and legalistic rules that strangled their experience of the gospel's grace and freedom. And I want you to know that, you know, a good friend of mine died a couple years ago, Gary Nock, and Gary pastored the First Baptist, which is now Grace Point down at down the way. And I told him my struggle with people from my Baptist background and how that affects me. And he started to cry. He got teary. Not because I was saying it. He felt honored that I could talk to him about it because he felt the same way. He struggled with that and being that himself. And I think that's why he went out and he bought me the beautiful Peterson pipes. They're really expensive. One's this long Tolkien pipe and the other one's like a Sherlock Holmes pipe. He was just trying to express that he was on a journey too. But notice, I want you to notice that Paul agrees with the Gentiles in their analysis of the Jewish Christians. In 15:1, he says, "We who are strong." He includes himself with the strong. "And they ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves." And Paul is on the side of Gentile Christians. Jesus has persuaded Paul that nothing is unclean in itself. He doesn't think one day is more sacred than another. In verse 5 of chapter 14. He believes in Christian worship. Don't get me wrong, and don't get him wrong, that we are intentionally to integrate our lives into the church. We cripple ourselves without regularly submitting to Scripture and sacrament with other Christ followers, but no day is more special than another. Paul forces the strong and the weak into the center of faith, which is Jesus Christ. Stop judging your brothers and sisters. Stop condemning those that God has accepted, verse 13. Paul uses family language throughout. He calls them brothers, and it's a general term, and I could go on why. It should just say brothers and sisters. Chapter 14, four times he does that. And Paul never tells, hear this, he never tells the weak or the strong to change their opinion. Never, ever does he say, change your thoughts on what you're thinking about. He doesn't. That is one of the most unpreached points of this text. He doesn't tell them to compromise. He never instructed them to find another church that they could join where personal convictions are given an institutional and divine stamp of approval. He does something much more challenging to following Jesus. He tells them to love each other within a plurality of convictions, with Jesus at the center and those convictions on the peripheral. That's following Jesus. We must love each other in ways that reflect Christ's love of our brothers and sisters. Christ's death is at the center. So we are called in this passage to climb Golgotha's hill to the cross. We're to remember that those we gather in worship with are those that Christ has died for. And that directs us. Let us sing another great hymn.